Hi everyone, today we have Aaron Jones from Yepic AI. If you're familiar with Voice AI and its impressive real-time video translation capabilities, that's the result of his efforts. Aaron, we're delighted to have you here.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Arseny.
So, Aaron, can you share a bit about your background and how it paved the way for you and Dr. Yannis Kazandidis to co-found Yepic AI?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show today. It's been like a 4.5 year journey. When me and Yannis began, we were working on image generation before video generation was even a thing. It's been a really interesting journey. I think it would be fair to say that we were probably one of the first research groups to create what's now called stable diffusion. Except when we did it, it was unstable and it certainly wasn't very cool. So it's been a really exciting journey going from image generation to motion frame interpolation and now full frame video. So it's been a really exciting journey.
And what is the Yepic's AI's mission?
Yeah, so Yepic is all about bringing AI to life. It's about injecting humanity into the interactions that everyone has with AI every single day. And we envisage a future where you won't just type to an AI, you'll talk face to face. And as these systems become more embedded into our lives and as multi-agent frameworks become a bigger part of the large language model landscape, these systems will go out and work for us. They'll actually make our lives better. They won't just, come up with names for our dog and answer questions. They'll have conversations, they'll have interactions with us. And in the background, they'll be creating and working for humanity. So it's really exciting to be at the forefront of this, quite literally giving these incredibly complicated systems faces and voices so that humanity can connect with them.
Yes, I also think there is a huge potential in human to AI connection in the future. And when you say that these models will be working in the background, does that mean that you also plan to add any sorts of actions to these models? Do you plan to allow them to take actions on our behalf?
I think they most certainly will. That's not a part of the equation that Yepic's focused on solving. We're focused on injecting humanity and bringing AI to life. But there are companies out there right now building these incredible frameworks that enable these agents to work together to achieve much bigger outcomes than any single agent could. So I'm very excited to see how this pans out.
Yeah, I think it has just an immense potential, and it has actually already shown in a different project called Character AI, where basically their app is now, I think it has more users on App Store than the original ChatGPT app, which is basically it's the same thing, right? So it's the same thing, but just a bit more human-like, right?
Absolutely. So Character AI is the type of company we partner with to inject life into the personas they've created. But, we're seeing this happen now in entertainment, and I think this is really exciting. It's definitely the direction we're moving in. And these applications, not just in entertainment, there's applications in medical triage, there's applications in public service providing at the railway station, having an AI avatar sign so that, people that can't speak and can't hear, being able to communicate and understand what's going on. There are so many incredible applications that generative video can help solve. Mm-hmm. And also for the technically illiterate people that, maybe a slightly older generation that, don't really know what ChatGPT is. Only 1 in 5 Americans has tried ChatGPT. So there's definitely a long way to go in making this technology mainstream and accessible to everyday people.
Mm-hmm. And what makes Yepic AI different from its competitors?
Yeah, so I think the space is evolving so fast, which is really incredible, because without a market for a product, that there aren't any companies, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really, really good being someone leading a company to see companies popping up to solve problems. And also right now, the space is just so, so big that I don't think anyone has really completely dominated any one particular vertical within this fast-moving space. Mm-hmm. But the thing that makes Yapik quite unique is our real-time capability. We've always been focused on real-time. We've always been focused on producing the smallest possible models we could that ran on the smallest possible compute we could. Because of the company, our genesis story is not one of, you know, raising hundreds of millions from Andreessen Horowitz. Our story is one of being, you know, researchers that are cash-strapped, going from like cloud provider to cloud provider, trying to build, almost bootstrap these models and bring them to as many people as possible. And now today we have, you know, more than 30,000 users, and the business is growing in like quite an exponential way. But it wasn't always like this. So it's really exciting to see like LLMs and all the things that are happening at this moment in time. Because our vision 2 years ago to create real-time video generation, nobody really understood it. Nobody really understood how this, you know, fitted into the matrix of what everyone else was doing. But LLMs and the mass adoption of them have completely changed people's perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly still don't understand how real-time AI video generation is even possible, even right now, leave alone 2 years ago. So it seems like video generation is just one of the components here, and a lot more is involved into such a system. So can you talk more about potential challenges in developing such novel technology, and how were you able to overcome them?
Yeah, so when you say challenges, what do you mean?
So, as we know, scaling, for example, such systems can be a great issue.
For sure.
Or even like this trade-off between quality of the video and the latency. And how do you optimize for this? How do you, you know, develop models from scratch and then deploy them into production, especially like video generation models? Because I'm sure that, you know, it's not like language models where you can just grab one from the open source repository and then redeploy for your own purposes. Here you actually have to, you know, probably even design your own architecture from scratch. So how do you approach technical challenges such as these?
Absolutely. So I think, first of all, it's important to differentiate that there are companies building wrappers, and then there are companies building, you know, the products that go in a wrapper. And then there are companies that do both. OpenAI is an example of a company that was building products that go in a wrapper for a long time, and then did ChatGPT, which was a wrapper and a product. And we're seeing more and more of these types of companies pop up. But most AI businesses right now are just building a wrapper around ChatGPT or around DALL-E, around Midjourney type products. At Yapik, we're building, you know, the core models, but we're not doing this alone. We're building on top of research from CVSSP. They're a very close research partner of ours, and we have like several grant funded projects with them. And we're building with the best academic state of the art technology, and we're building our own data sets. And we're training our own systems. So our systems are largely based around GAN architecture. Mm-hmm. And without the GAN architecture, what we do today wouldn't be possible. There's, you know, influences of StyleGAN in there. There are influences of several research papers. And I think that unlike large language models, where it's completely open source and there's such a gigantic community, the video space hasn't had that much excitement. Because to maintain temporal normality, to have every frame follow the previous frame, and for it to make sense in a wider context, is very, very technically challenging. You need lots of memory, which means you need lots of GPUs that have large memories, which are expensive to buy, expensive to rent, difficult to get hold of. And you also need to have you know, large data sets that are relatively focused. And if they're not focused, they need to be really quite easily tagged. Whereas large language models, you just gather loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of data, and you train the model, and the model just figures everything out. I think with audio visual, it's a little bit different. You have to sort of like prompt and sort of like guide the training process a bit more. And there isn't, you know, a huge community of developers that have done it. In the same way, you know, building a large language model from scratch, there's not a huge number of people that have done it. This is why companies like Minstrel AI are popping up, raising 100 million to build an MVP, because, you know, between them, they have a unique skill set. And I said the same at Yepic. We have a really unique skill set. We're on like sort of iterations, maybe 7 or 8 now of our system. And each version has been built up from scratch using state-of-the-art knowledge, but our own data sets and our own take on things, using the knowledge and the learnings from previous iterations. And it's very difficult to catch up with that.
Very interesting.
But I think in the wider context, there's a lot of like concerns we have about the industry around the ethics, you know, like making sure that the AI is generating non-biased, non-discriminatory, non-harmful content. And there's also, you know, things about hallucination. I think right now, if I was running a hallucination fixing startup, I'd be worried, because if, you know, OpenAI can't solve the hallucination problem, there is no enterprise product. So I think that whatever fixes they put into their enterprise product will probably feed its way through to the rest of the product ecosystem at some point. There's a number of other problems that are evolving, but I'm seeing so many incredible entrepreneurs and developers just build out solutions that really do change the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for such solutions that really change the game, how do you approach data collection? Because it's, you know, it's quite obvious with large language models where you can just scrape the whole internet, put it in a model, and then just get the text generation capabilities out of it. But with video generation, you can't find this data, I assume, on the internet. So how do you approach data collection?
Yeah, so there are some data sets available that are, you know, commercially available. But for us, most of our data sets have been built in-house. So I was pretty lucky to have like a really weird sort of like accommodation setup during lockdown, where I was looking after this old abandoned building, and like even before lockdown. So we used to film actors every single week. And we had a team of interns and video professionals, including myself, working with the team to literally find actors, bring them in, pay them for their time, and film them reading from a teleprompter, reading different scripts to gather different mouth motions, different accents, different languages even. And we filmed hundreds of actors and created our own data set, which is the, you know, the underlying foundation of our real-time technology. And you really can't just scrape YouTube and hope for the best. If you want consistent high quality, you do need to prepare for that. And it's something we learned very early on. And the problem with these models is, you know, if you spend, you know, $30,000, $100,000 training a model, how many runs, how many attempts do you get? Yeah. Most cloud providers will give you 100K. You've got maybe 3 attempts if you're trying to do this from scratch and you don't really know what you're doing. And we've had so many runs, so many attempts, and I think data set is everything, especially when it comes to diversity. We pride ourselves in having like one of the best lip syncs for people of different ethnicities. Very often our clients say, like, you know, everyone else's black avatars are just really bad, but yours are really dynamic, really animated, and the lip sync is really, really good. We've really made that the focus of our technology, so that people that, you know, I hinted on it earlier, people that sign, people that, you know, have difficulty communicating can follow along. It's a very important thing. Lip sync is a very important part of human communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also believe that data is one of the key differentiators in the current AI landscape. It seems like people are starting to forget how crucial data really is with the rise of generative AI models and especially large language models. But I think the fact that you have your own proprietary custom manually collected data is what can really make your product stand out. And however, I also believe that there are, you know, quite a few crucial components to a success of an AI project. And as you said, your company is not a wrapper. It's basically a product. It's infrastructure that people then might use to maybe possibly create their own wrappers, or which you can distribute directly. So I'm personally familiar mostly with like developing different wrappers for AI models, and I just know from my personal experience how crucial in these integrations are user interfaces.
Sure.
And how just, you know, there are hundreds of different companies right now that utilize the same model under the hood, but some of them are making millions of dollars and others are making nothing, just because I believe they have different user interfaces and just because of the way they deliver these models to their users. So how do you envision this interaction with AI on your platform? Is it more like a chat-based interface? Do you even plan to add a textual input?
For us, we're all about empowering developers to build the best products. Our team's incredible, and we've just taken on an incredible product manager. Her name's Melanie. She's like, you know, nearly 20 years experience in the industry as like product lead at Aviva and lots of big companies and startups. But you know, the reality is you can't be the one-stop shop for everything. You have to really focus and become the best at one thing. And for us, we've chosen to become the best at real-time video with brilliant lip sync in different languages. And we've made this model available as an API that anyone can white label and build a product upon. You know, our API is 4 times cheaper than any of our competitors. And it comes back to this competitive advantage we have around the models being so refined, and them being, you know, so small and so lightweight to run that we can afford to, you know, to offer them at scale. With our new ChatGPMe real-time chat API, you know, you can buy video minutes from us for as little as 5 cents. So you can have a chatbot talking to customers in any language you like for the video for $3 an hour. It really is unheard of. We're trying to be a bit like OpenAI, but for video, and to make our models disseminate them as much as we can, and to make them as accessible and usable by developers as possible. We have a new developer program where we'll give developers like 1,000 credits to get started, because we want people to go out there and build incredible products. Because, you know, people like you, Arseny, are going to build a better product that solves a better problem for the niche that you understand than we ever will. I think this is probably the biggest differentiator between Yepik and any of the companies out there like Synthesia or, you know, HeyGen, DID, there's a few of them, is that we're all about empowering app developers to build incredible products. And we have like one of our developers is making probably 4 times more revenue than our whole business.
Oh, wow.
off their app.
Happens.
You know, this year, we're in year 2 of trading now. We're getting, you know, close to like 2-3 million of revenue. So we're seeing some people use this in a huge way, and I can only hope that they continue to grow, because their success is our success. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is how ecosystems develop, and this is how great products are built.
Yeah, okay, so I see you providing more of an infrastructure layer. So I think that's where, you know, companies can really blow up, because you're not just targeting, you know, one niche, you're targeting all of them. And as you said, you know, people like me can develop their own solutions. I'm personally a content creator, and what I envision creating with Yepik AI, for example, is potentially, you know, content that does not require me to create myself. So basically, like, you know, I'm on YouTube, and maybe if I want to re-record like a piece of like a 5-second phrase or something, I could just use AI instead of, you know, pulling out all my gear and then just, you know, setting up everything to just, you know, record just 5 seconds. And
sure.
Can you linger more on potential use cases of Yepik AI, maybe for creators like me or for business owners? And how do you envision people using this technology?
Absolutely. I think Yepik is just one piece of the puzzle. Today, I was at IBC in Amsterdam, the big media tech conference, and I was walking around the expo and I'm just seeing like cameras everywhere, equipment everywhere, software everywhere. And as I was walking around, I was thinking, wow, yeah, this stuff you're demoing, like, you know, dolly cams that zoom into an image, like, and, you know, screens for, like, you know, virtual studios that they create, you know, blockbuster films in. Like, already now with Runway ML, you can automate a lot of the B-roll in like the background footage of making a production. With Firefly's Adobe's new product and things like Stable Diffusion, you can generate images for backgrounds. With Yepic AI, you can generate the talking head video. And you can inject life. And, you know, if you're unhappy with the style, you can upload a short video clip and we can edit the whole style of the video, like, almost instantly. Like, all these tools coming together are just creating this whole new ecosystem for creators that just today isn't possible. Today, you have to have expensive equipment. You have to, you know, not even today, but like 5 years ago, you'd have to have studios. You'd, you know, even a smartphone camera, it wasn't good enough. But we've even moved past smartphone cameras empowering, you know, user-generated content now. And we're in this whole new evolution of generative and interactive AI, where there's this interactive process happening between the creator and the creative AI. And that really excites me. Like, I wish I could give you one use case, but there are just so many. We're seeing people build there's one customer building a fortune telling bot on our platform. It reads your tarot and it sort of like takes all the data and the charts and it makes this tarot reading system. There's someone else doing medical triage. There are people doing chatbots that you can talk to around immigration. Because in India, apparently, lots of people, like, they try and apply for their American visa, their talent visa and other visas, work visas. And you have to go to interview for the visa, like face-to-face at like a kiosk. And it's quite nerve-wracking. You know, you get there, like, what are they going to ask me? You want to prepare the questions. You want to make sure you have the right answers. Even for this podcast, you know, it would have been helpful if I had, you know, an AI Arseny I could chat to and rehearse the questions. I think chatbots are going to be like incredible tools to sort of like to help people learn and to help people feel more comfortable. And as a form of knowledge transfer, you know, reading text that a chatbot generates is really fun and engaging. But, you know, what if you're in a developing country and you don't, and you've bought insurance for your crops and you don't know if the insurance policy covers a hurricane or a storm, and you're illiterate. You're relying on the salesperson, what they told you. You know, in a scenario like having a video where someone, you know, talks to you and where you can reference a video chatbot you can go to and talk to, or even an audio chatbot, it could be a game changer for someone where accessing information right now is real time. Also in the operating theater, we don't do this for video. I don't think I ever have a video avatar in operating theater, but imagine you're like, you're a doctor or you're a nurse and you have to like administer medicine immediately. You know, you have a knowledge of the person's medical history, but an AI could have the whole knowledge of a person's medical history. And you could very quickly query the AI, can we give this person penicillin? Can we give this person this drug? And you could get back a very high confidence answer, which would save time. You know, in an operating theater, when you've got minutes, moments to make tough decisions, you could save thousands of lives.
Yes, exactly. I also believe that AI can sometimes make more informed decisions than humans because, first of all, they can analyze much more data, and second, they don't have any attachments to whatever you do. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, everything that is generated by AI should still be verified by a human being because there's always a chance of error. And the same goes even for, you know, AI generated videos. Like, while it's great that I could create a video without my direct involvement, video of myself, it also means that anybody else could do the same thing and just impersonate me on YouTube and go viral. And we have already seen a few cases like this, but with images. So how do you ensure that such disruptive generative AI technology is used ethically and responsibly at Yepic AI?
Absolutely. I think everybody has a responsibility to do this, to ethically and responsibly disseminate groundbreaking technologies. I'm really happy that, you know, lots of institutions have decided not to open source the code and the weights for some of these AI video models, because in the wrong hands, with no barriers to entry, you could create big problems. As a business, we personally, we've made the decision to have everybody take responsibility for their actions on the platform. So when you join our platform, we verify that you are the person you say you are through an email verification. And then we have two products. One is Express, one is Studio Pro. The Express is really fast generation. We allow you to upload any photo, but we ask you to sign a declaration to declare that, the photo, you own the rights to the photo, mm-hmm. and that you have permission to use the photo. Because for us, it's very important that, people aren't being deepfaked and that malicious content isn't being made. We also have script filtering. So if you try and say something racist or profane, the generator will just say no. More often than not, it'll say nothing and it will just go into a holding phase and the team will have to manually review it. And then we come back to the clients individually. And every single week, we flag hundreds of videos that people have tried to make, and we block and ban people from our platform on a regular basis, where we feel like content guidelines are being violated or people are attempting to violate them. We take it very, very seriously. And then within the Studio Pro, where you get an even higher quality video, we actually ask the person to video verify that it's them by having a webcam video of themselves, either saying, yep, hey, this photo is me. I give Yepic AI permission to take make a talking photo of me, or explaining their use case. And we have a semi-automated system where, if the script has been read and the face matches the picture, it's automatically approved. If there's some discrepancy and you're a new user and you're not an existing user, then we manually review these. But it's very important that we understand, how the technology is being used and to make sure that the society is being protected. Because, in a world that's so fake, in a world that can be so fake, that can be so generated, I think it's really important that we hold on to what is real and we keep this close to us.
Yes, thank you so much for taking such precautions and, generating AI, because I now definitely feel much safer knowing that nobody can replicate me using Yepic AI's technology. And I just hope that other companies will follow your guidelines, also verifying the videos and, or at least, doing some kind of like agreements for simpler models. So is there any collaborations or partnerships in the pipeline that you can expand the reach of Yepic AI products?
So I can't talk about specific client projects that are in the pipeline, but there's some very exciting ones that touch on spheres of public life and private business. But one thing I can say is that Google AI's models will be available via Google's Model Garden very soon. So you'll be able to spin up your own instance of Yepic's models and run them within Google's GCP environment, which is really exciting as part of our mission to empower developers to create products, especially for larger institutions like banks and larger companies where data processing is very important. If they make a video that says like Arseny's name and bank balance, they might not feel comfortable with a startup like us processing the video and having access to the script. Whereas with this new way of working, they don't get access to the model as such, but they can load the models onto GPUs and they're still subject to filtering via third-party services that we use, but it enables you to control your own workflow. And it's also much cheaper for a percentage on top of the cost of GPU. Users will be able to build and deploy their own Yepic video system. So that's a really big, exciting move for us. But we think that there are so many amazing use cases that could be unlocked if this was in the hands of more people.
Oh, wow. That's definitely a great collaboration. I did not expect, honestly, that you would, unveil something as huge as this, because Generative AI Studio is what I use for quite a few projects personally, and I think it provides a very nice interface. So definitely hoping to see your models there soon. And to finalize, where can we learn more about Yepik AI, your work, and your co-founders, Dr. Yanis Kazantzakis' works?
Sure. I recommend connecting with us on LinkedIn, and you can follow the company's posts on LinkedIn and the website, www.yepik.ai, is a great place to get a flavor for what we're doing. We're always updating the site, not anywhere near as often as we should. So if there are a few things that seem old, please forgive us. we are a small company and things are moving very, very fast.
Yes, I agree.
But that's the best place, LinkedIn and the website.
All right. Thank you, Aaron, for sharing your story and giving us all these insights into your innovative work behind the Yepik AI. And thank you and best wishes.
Thank you, Arseniy.